First Samuel 30. Let's begin reading verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, I want you to notice when something bad happened, they turned on the leader and they was going to kill David because, you know, they were distressed. And the Bible said, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint, they could not go over the brook Besor. Look down in verse number 16. Look down verse number 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth. This is the enemy now. Eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them save 400 men, young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great. Neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them, David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle and this, and said, this is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, now listen to this, which was so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial and those that went with David. There's always going to be somebody around to murmur and complain and gripe and fuss and cause trouble. Always. Here was a great victory and God had blessed them. And there was some of the devilish people right in the middle of it. I imagine they probably called it a committee. I don't know, but the Bible don't say that. Modern vernacular, that's what you call it. But they said, all those that went with David said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came into us into our hand. Listen to this. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And so they made an ordinance of that thing. And it became law. David said this. He said the same people that went out to fight and got a reward, the same people that stayed behind by the stuff, they're going to get the same reward. Here's what I'll take out of that scripture this morning, out of our text, is what he said there in verse 24, those that tarried by the stuff. You ever heard that old saying, staying with the stuff? Man, he stuck with the stuff. He stayed with the stuff. That's where that came from. It came right straight out of the Bible. And that's what I'll preach about this morning for just a few minutes, is stay with the stuff. Amen? Preacher, what do you mean, the stuff? You know what I'm talking about, the stuff. The stuff is those valuable things, those good items, and those they were back there protecting their stuff, their goods, and their valuables while the men were out fighting. If they had all gone out to the battle and gone out and gotten a fight and came back, some of the other enemies would have stripped them of everything that they still had. And so they were staying by the stuff. Now, Paul said this to Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He said, stay with the stuff. He said, Timothy, preach the word, son. Before Paul died, Timothy said, what have you got to tell me, preacher? What advice can you give me? He said, preach that blessed book. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. What are you saying, preacher? We've reached that day, and we need people that'll stay with the stuff. Amen. Amen. I read this the other day. They said they did a big survey in America about churchgoers. Since 1990, they say every denomination in America is reporting losses. They said 10% fewer Americans identify themselves as traditional Christians. 15% claim no religion at all. Young Americans are the least religious of all groups, all categories. They say the most interesting fact is the year's average of 13% of Americans who claim no religion, religious identity is the highest that's ever been recorded. Man, it's amazing. Listen to this. In 1948, 91% of Americans said they were Christian. 1989, 82% they were Christian. 84 said they were Christian. 1999, all the way up till now, it's dropped to 78%. Only 78% claim to be Christian. That's a big drop. You say, oh, that's just numbers. It is, but it's true. And we're seeing a decline in churches, and we're seeing a decline in Bible-believing Christians, and we're seeing a decline in old-fashioned preaching and old-time worship. I'll tell you what I believe the Bible's teaching us this morning is simply this. Stay with the stuff. You say, preacher, things are different. I know they are. I know the world is different. I know society is different. I know churches operate different. I know things are not like they used to be. We sit around and talk about the good old days, and our kids look at us like they don't know what we're talking about. But I'll tell you, those things that are valuable and true and good and right, we ought to stay with them, brother. They brought us this far. We should stay with it the rest of the way through. We ought to be committed to stay with the stuff. By way of introduction, I want to say this. I want to stay with that old-time manual. Thank God, brother, what I'm talking about, that old-time manual, is this old instruction book that we've been preaching. This old book, bless God, it's been around since the 1600s. I'm talking about none other than that blessed old King James Bible. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with the King James Bible. It's what your grandma got saved by. It was good enough for your grandpa to get saved by. It's good enough for those for the early church fathers. It was good enough for them. Thank God, it's good enough for me and you. It don't have any errors in it. It's error-free. It's infallible. It's perfect. It's right. It's true. I say, let's stay with that old-time manual. Amen. Let's stay with that old-time music, too. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I know it's the going trend to go to rock music. I ain't stupid. I'm aware of what's going on around us. But I say, brother, in our churches and our church services, let's stay with the stuff. Let's sing them good old hymns like we sung this morning. My Savior, first of all. Amen. That old rugged cross. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Victory in Jesus. A blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, at Calvary. At the cross. I'll fly away. All them old time hymns. Brother, they've been good all these years. Brother, we don't need something in here that ain't got no content to it just to make us feel good in our flesh. Let's stay with that old-time manual and that old-time music. It'll still get the job done. I say we stay with that old-time modesty, too. I still like to see people dress up and go to church. You don't have to wear a suit. I'm not saying that. You don't have to dress up like you're going to your junior, senior prom. But it sure is nice on Sunday to see people look like they care what they look like, don't it? Ain't it a blessing to go to the house of God and see women still dress in modest apparel? Not only women, it's still good to see men dress in modest apparel. Oh, ain't it a crying shame? You go to church nowadays and you see the deacon board walk in with flip-flops and Bermuda shorts and a tank top unto God, brother. I tell you, if you come dressed like that and you hold office in this church, you are going to get your hide skinned, I can guarantee you that. Amen, brother? I say, let's stay with that old-time modesty. Amen. Amen, Brother Emmanuel, and the music and the modesty. What about that old time message? I still like seeing somebody preach about Jesus. I like an old time message about the old rugged cross, that Jesus died on the cross and died and was resurrected and went back to heaven. That old time message. I say stay with what works, brother. If it ain't broke, don't mess with it. I mean, if it's been working all these years, let's stay with it. That old time message. I still like that old time miracle too, don't you? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm not talking about necessarily healing and all that stuff. All that's fine, but that's not what Jesus came for. Jesus didn't come to heal people. He healed people because the Jews require a sign. Jesus Christ came to save the lost. If you'll notice, every time Jesus healed somebody, He saved them first. And then when people got to grumbling and complaining, He said, well, I can also heal them. And He'd say, take up your bed and walk. That old time message is simply this. There is a Savior that loves you and died on the cross, and He'll save you from your sin. Amen. I like that old time stuff, don't you? You say, preach, that's just cause you're old. No, it ain't. Cause when I was in my 20s, I liked it. Amen. I'm not that old, bless your heart. Get over it. Just cause I'm a little bit thin on top don't mean I'm old. Not an amen in the house. Let's stay with the stuff. Number one, because of the roaring lion. Because of the roaring lion, 1 Peter 5, 8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you know the devil's trying to devour our churches? He's trying to devour our homes. He's trying to devour our schools. He's trying to devour our families. Did you know these young boys and girls sitting here this morning? The devil, the Bible said, is walking up and down in the earth. And I'll tell you, he's walking around right now. He's got plans for your little girls and for your little boys. That's why I've always had a strict, straight line in my family, because I know if you drop it just one bit, brother, you're going to let the devil in, and it don't take much for him to wreak havoc and ransack your life and mess your kids' lives up, and brother, sometimes they never recover from it. Amen. You say, preacher, you're too old-fashioned. I appreciate you noticing that, glory to God. I am old-fashioned, but it still works. I plan on staying with the stuff. Told my wife the other day, we was talking about something. I said, honey, I said, if I'm the last one holding out, and if I'm the last old-fashioned King James Bible-believing preacher shouting, hooping, and hollering, glory to God, Baptist preacher, I said, I guess I'll be the last one. But I ain't giving up, brother. I'm getting too close to the end of this thing to give up now and start changing gears. I mean, brother, this thing's been going full steam for a long time. Let's stay with it, church. Let's stay with the old-time way, because the roaring lion, we need to stay with the stuff. Amen. We need somebody to hold up a standard nowadays. You know, this modern day and time, anything and everything goes. I know people don't like that kind of preaching, but I can't help it. It's still the truth. That old time way still works. You might say, preacher, we got a brighter way and a better way, and we got a smarter way. No, you don't. Brother, if it's different from the Word of God, it won't work. I know you can bring the world into the church, and you can entertain people, and you can make them feel good in the flesh, and make them feel like they went to church when they go home, but there'll still be something empty down inside of them, because the world and the flesh and carnality will not satisfy that longing down in your soul. Amen. Let's stay with the stuff because of the roaring lion. That's why I want to stay with it, brother. I still got kids that's growing up. I still got a wife looking up to me. I still got a church that listens to me preach. I can't quit and back up and compromise now. I got to stay with the stuff, brother. You say, preacher, everybody else is doing this. I'll tell you what my mama used to say. Mama, you say, I don't care what everybody else is doing. Amen. I said, Mama, everybody else is getting to go to the party. Or she said, I don't care where they're going. Amen. All I care about is where you're going. Remember what Mom would say? If your friends jumped off the cliff, would you want to jump too? I never would say it, but I thought, yeah, I would. You know, a bunch of ignorant teenagers are. And that's the way I thought. But brother, I'm glad now, looking back, I'm glad Mama took them hickories to us and a fly swatter, whatever she had in her hand, and tanned our little hide. Brother, I say we stay with the stuff because of the roaring lion. The devil is out to get you today, and he's out to get this church, and he's out to mess up your family if you let him. Number two, stay with the stuff because of the remnant of believers. The remnant is under attack. The remnant of believers, of course, is the church. The church is the most unpopular entity on earth. I believe that. You can do anything, and people will pat you on the back. You can go on any talk show or the news and talk about anything in the world. But brother, they won't let you get on the news and talk about Jesus. They won't let you talk about your conversion experience. They won't let you talk about how good it is to be saved. They won't let you talk about what a blessed Savior He is and what a relationship you have with Him. But I want to say we ought to stay with the stuff. Us preachers have got to stay with it. I know some preachers will hear this on tape or on CD or on the radio. I'm saying to those preachers, stay with it, brother. You say, preacher, I'm down to 10 people in my church. That's all right, brother. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on plowing. Just keep on dropping that hammer. And God will honor you in the end if you'll stay with the stuff. Amen. I talk about my daddy a lot. He died a few years ago. And I'll never forget when I preached his funeral. One of the best things, one of the most gratifying things about preaching his funeral, Brother Sam, was this. I knew my daddy's old little old body was laying there in that coffin. But you know what I knew? I knew my daddy stayed with the stuff, brother. He didn't back down. I never saw my daddy open another modern version Bible just to see if the King James really meant what it said. I never saw my daddy compromise with what the Word of God said. Daddy preached on sin. He preached heaven sweet and hell hot, life short, eternity long, and he stayed with the stuff till he left out of here. Because the remnant of believers, there's a church that needs us. There's remnant of believers. There's young people around us. There's saved people, Christian people that still need us. The Bible said, He came to His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm glad to tell you this morning, we ought to stay with it, church, because there is a remnant of believers. They need to be fed. You say, preacher, all that hollering and screaming ain't popular. It might not be, but it'll still get the job done. Amen. Amen. Because the roaring lion, number two, because the remnant of believers, number three, because revival is still possible. That's why we want to stay with the stuff. You never know, one of these days, one of these Sundays, brother, a spark might take place. Be honest with you, I think it's already happened in our church. It's already started right here. Brother, listen, we hoot and holler and shout all the time and cry and run to the altar. But you go around to some of these dead churches, and I'm not picking on nobody. God knows I'm not. I have respect for other people and other churches. But I'll tell you, these churches that ain't preaching the book and they're not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, brother, God ain't within a million miles of them. And I'm going to tell you what, brother, who knows but what God Himself may show up and spark a revival in our midst. I'm glad, thank God, there's a possibility for revival. Because revival's still possible. Now I know we're living in the Laodicean church age, and we're living in the time of the lukewarm church, and I know we're living in days where the sin is rampant and it's worse than it's ever been. Every preacher will tell you that. But I still do believe, and I still do understand that in the Bible there's a verse of Scripture over in the book of Chronicles, and it said this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It still says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, He said, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. I still believe there's a possibility for God to show up and God to sweep through our church and through our community. I know it's still possible. There's revival. I know that we're not going to see sweeping revival across the nation. I understand that. But I still believe there's still hot pockets. I don't mean to kind of eat either. Hot pockets. Anyway. But you ever seen a fire? You ever seen a forest fire? Or a big fire out in the woods? And when it starts going out, every once in a while, 2 or 3 days later, sometimes a week, 2 weeks, there'll be one little hot spot will flare up. It's still burning. Oh, I'm glad this morning, people. I'm glad. I want you to look at me. I want to tell you something. I'm thankful unto God. And I don't know why God's doing it. It ain't because of me. There ain't nothing good about me. Oh, but I thank God every day of my life that God looked down at Grace Baptist Church and just out of His grace and love and mercy, He said, I'm going to stir something up down there. I'm going to let the fires burn. I'm going to let them embers start burning. It again, and when the wind blows through, thank God the revival fires can burn again. Thank God, let's stay with the stuff this morning. Hallelujah. I'm about to start feeling like preaching. Revival's still possible. Not only that, but number four, because there's some to restore. There's some people need to be restored. Sometimes the church will get cold, folks get out of church. Get out of the will of God. Get out of place. Get out of sorts. Get out of whack. Get out of step. Get out of fellowship. There's still people that needs us. We need to stay with the stuff so we can go drag one in every once in a while. Brother Sam, a stray sheep will get out of the flock and go astray. I don't know why it happens, and I don't understand it, how people be on fire for God and love Jesus, and down the road they get out of church. But I've seen it happen over and over again. And boy, they need us. They need a place where they can come wandering in after they're wore out, and the devil's put them through the ringer and their life's wasted and ruined. They need a place where they can go and say, if I can just get back to the church, if I can get back to that old-fashioned preaching and that singing and that praising God, oh, I know there's some help for me. I know there's hope for me. I want to tell you this morning, let's stay with the stuff. There's some to restore. Well, hallelujah. Galatians, Paul said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you say, preacher, you don't know what he's done. Listen to this. Brethren, if you, any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brother Kevin, be careful how you restore somebody else, because it might be Brother Kevin next. Brother Jeff, be careful of the attitude you have toward that brother that's out of church, because it might be Brother Jeff next. Brother Sam, be careful how you restore another brother that's out of church, because it might be Brother Sam next week, next month, next year. You might be the one that we're talking about and praying for. Brother, we need to have an old-fashioned place of worship. We need to have some place by the stuff where people can go and get restored. Well, praise the Lord. There's some to restore. I've been in the ministry a good while. I could go down a list. I'm not talking about people. I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm talking about people I know personally that's not in church anymore. People used to drive the bus. People used to teach Sunday school. People used to do the same thing you're doing. Used to be the treasurer. Used to be the clerk. Used to teach Sunday school. Some of them used to be preachers. I can name some preachers right now. On my hand, used to go to our church. Well, I was their pastor, and they preached, and they'd go out soul winning and knock on doors. And right now, they're out of church, and their family's disintegrated, and they're all different directions. I'm telling you, brother and sister, let's stay by the stuff. Let's stick with it, brother, because one of these days, who knows, God may do something in their life, and they might wander back through here just hoping maybe by chance that there's a little bit of chance that something good will happen, and then get their life back on track. Thank God, I hope we got a place where it's a lighthouse for shipwrecked souls, and they know they can get back here, they can get some help. Amen. There's some to restore. Number five, because there's still redemption for the lost. Amen. Let's stay with the stuff, because there's still going to be people coming to our doors. I'm preaching at the Grace Baptist Church. There's still going to be people. And you can't design your messages. You're preaching to, well, we'll handle lost people tomorrow, so I'm going to preach on so-and-so. You can't do that. Because you never know when one's coming in. And you never know when you get up to preach it, the people that's come to your church for years, who knows what one of them might be lost. Who knows what one of our Sunday school teachers, kids, or daughter, or son, or grandson may not be saved. That's went to church their whole life. But I want to tell you, brother, we ought to have a place where we stay by the stuff and we stick with it, and it still works. It's like a husband and wife. Brother, tough it out and stick with it no matter how bad it gets, no matter how discouraged you get. Just stay with it, hold out, hang on, and ride this thing out to the end, and God will bless us for it. There's still redemption. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody know where that's at? Romans what? 10. That's right. Romans chapter 10, one of the greatest soul winning chapters in the Bible. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you never know. Listen, y'all seen it here. I mean, there's been times I've got up and preached and people come in, I don't know who they are, and they walk down the aisle and get saved. I remember the fellow right down here at the funeral home come on Sunday. I remember that guy from Florida come that Sunday night and got saved. Who knows, brother? But when they do, we ought to be ready. I mean, brother, we ought to have something for them. I mean, we don't need to come to church with a chip on our shoulder and mad about something, with a bad attitude. We need to come to the house of God and with a spirit of love, and brother, I mean with a spirit of worship. And when somebody passes through this place, brother, we ought to stay by the stuff so they can be saved, because there's still redemption for those that's lost. Amen. The roaring lion, the remnant of believers, the revival that's possible, some to restore, redemption for the lost. Number six, because the rapture is still to come. That's right. Stay with the stuff, brother, because it's fixing to happen. Wouldn't you hate to be in a race and quit. And then when they come gather you up off the track, you find out that you was right around the home stretch. You was almost home and you quit. I've heard of people doing that. I've heard of people giving up and quitting. I heard of these two guys one time was out on a ship and it went down and they got in the little life raft. There's two of them in a little inflatable boat. And they got in that thing and it's floating for days and it's run out of food and it's just going to die. And they had enough food just to do for a day or two and they finally decided that one of them would sacrifice his own life and go overboard and the other one could live a few days longer. Sounded like a pretty good plan, didn't it? It wasn't really that good of a plan because one of them went overboard and drowned himself and the next morning when he woke up could see land. He bailed out just one day too soon. Just one day too quick. Don't quit now, church. Don't quit now, believer. Don't give up, Christian. Just stay with it. You say, preacher, I can't read my Bible all the way through. It's tough. It's hard. I know, brother. It is hard. We've been doing it. We've been through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And brother, it's hard when you finally get over to Joshua and Judges and Ruth. 1st, 2nd Samuel, you're about ready to have a shouting spell. But stay with the stuff. It'll help you. Nobody says it's going to be easy. I've counseled with young people before that's going to get married. First thing I try to do is talk them out of it. Is there anything I could say to change your mind? Ain't that right? Everybody's been married a while shaking their head. You got that right, preacher. Young people's like, what's he talking about? I want to get married. Yeah, top some of us been married 30, 40 years. I ain't saying we don't love our spouses, but brother, it ain't something lightly you want to jump into. You want to pray about that thing, make sure you can put up with that heifer. Ladies, make sure you can put up with that slob. Amen? Now, listen, I'm just trying to help you. Stay with the stuff. That's the same way it is because the rapture is going to happen. Brother, let's don't quit now. Let's don't bail out. Let's stay with what works because God's going to honor us. Amen. One of these days we're going to be, I hope it happens while we're at church. I hope it happens while we're in here worshiping. I hope we're up here singing, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Don't you, Brother Jeff? One of them good old songs. I hope we're doing that. Got our hands up, tears running down our face, and all of a sudden the world hears a sound like they ain't never heard in their life. And you're standing like this holding your hands up and crying. Your eyes are closed. And when you open your eyes, there you are at the throne of God looking at Jesus. Amen. Amen. You say, what happened? How did I get here? And everybody else is running around saying, what in the world happened? We heard an awful noise and a bunch of them got abducted. I'm saying, stay with the stuff because the rapture is still to come. Amen. We studied a little bit on it Wednesday night. Paul said, then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Amen. We're going, people. Here's the thing. Stay with the stuff till the trumpet sounds. Amen. Try to win one more soul. Sometimes you go out on Saturdays knocking on doors and you think, we've been to this trailer park. We've been to this apartment complex. We've been to this neighborhood. It ain't never done no good. Nobody's ever come to church. That ain't the way you look at it. Amen, the way you got to look at, son, Gabriel's up there shining up his trumpet, getting ready, wetting his lips. I mean, he play just as good as Ashley almost. He'll get up there and get ready to sound that trumpet. And we're down here knocking on a door. And we're trying to get some over handing out a track. I mean, giving them tracks, talking to them about Jesus. And brother, listen, I sure hope that's what we're doing. I hope we hadn't give up and quit and laying at the house when the Lord comes back. Amen. He said, occupy till I come. Amen. That occupy don't mean just lay around. It's where the word occupation comes from. Stay busy. Work. Work. We'll work till Jesus comes. Throw out the lifeline. I mean, stay busy. Stay with it. Keep. Listen, most of us don't do anything for God. We go to church a couple times a week and thank God's lucky that we do it. But brother, we ought to knock on some doors. We ought to witness every chance we get because the rapture is still to come. Amen. Closer than it's ever been. The last thing I want to say this morning, stay with the stuff because there's a reward to gain. 1 Peter 5:4 said, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. There's a crown to receive. You say, preacher, I'm not working for a crown. If you're saved, you ought to be working for something. Amen. One of these days, they're going to pass out. The judgment seat of Christ said, there'll be your works will be tried by fire, gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. And those precious stone and gold and silver and all that, that's things that won't burn up. But the wood and hay and stubble, that's when you just go to church and read your Bible just because the preacher told you to. Don't mean nothing to you. You don't do it because you love Jesus. You do it because you have to. It'll just burn up in your face. But if you did it because you love the Lord and that's your motive and you want to serve Him and do something for Him, God, I want to worship You. I want to work for You. I want to live for You. I want to read Your Word. I want to witness. I want to sing. I want to preach. If you'll do it with the right motive, one of these days there's going to be a reward handed to you. And you might say, well, preacher, I don't care about them rewards.
When you get there, you will.
All of them come sing that same song again. Here's what it's going to be. I don't know exactly all the details. There's going to come a time in the eternities of heaven. We're going to meet Jesus. We sung about it this morning. My Savior, first of all, imagine, just imagine with me a minute, what it's going to be like when they call your name out. Amen. The judgment seat of Christ will take place during the 7 years of tribulation on earth. We'll be up in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. And there'll be some tears shed too, by the way. There'll be some tears shed because you'll see all the opportunities you had to do something for God and didn't. And then, after the 1,000-year reign with Christ, some point in there, they'll call your name out. This is the way I believe it's going to happen. Yep. And say, the Lord will see you now. Mm-hmm. And they won't have to introduce you to Him.
That's right.
When you walk, approach His throne, you know who He is.
Yes.
Like Fanny Crosby said, you'll know Him by those scars in His hands.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 5, He said, I saw a lamb as had been slain from the foundation of the world. He didn't have to die, but He did it for you.
Right.
The very least mean you can do is just, you know, some people won't even go to church. And that's easy. We ought to wear ourselves out for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? We shouldn't live for the present and for things. We should live for Him.
Amen.
They call your name out and you approach His throne. And you'll have two or three little trinkets or crowns. You may have a whole bunch. I don't know. I don't feel like I'll have a whole bunch. But it's sure going to be a blessing if I have two or three little things.
Amen.
And they call my name out. They look at my record and they say, well, you tried to raise your family right and you preached that blessed old book and tried to stay faithful. Stayed with the stuff. Give me those little rewards. When I get my chance, Brother William, and I approach His throne, all I want to do, I don't want to walk up and say, look, Jesus, what I got. I want to just kneel down at His feet and present them to Him.
Yep.
You ever read that scripture where the 24 elders cast their crowns at His feet?
Yep.
You got a big old crown with all them jewels, which it probably won't be that big, but if you did, I promise you, when you get there, what are you going to do if you're standing in line and they're casting crowns at His feet and it comes your turn and you're just standing there like, well, Lord, I really don't have anything. I love You, Lord, but I don't have anything to give You. It's going to be bad, ain't it? Say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, believe what you want to then. I'm just trying to help you. Believe what you want to. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to tell you to stay with the stuff. Stay with what works. It'll get us through this thing. Let's all stand this morning. Heads bowed.